Hello and welcome to another episode of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond. With me as always...
It's Mike.
Mike, what is up, sir?
Not much. Today's my day off, so I'm just relaxing.
Nice. It's January 17th, for those who are wondering. It's a Saturday. Saturday evening. It's dark out. So, I don't know, it could be clear skies, could be cloudy, could be overcast, yeah, this is episode 9, this will be the second or third that's officially posted to iTunes, which is still awesome, still kind of awesome to be able to, like, search on iTunes and be like, oh shit, that's me.
Right.
I'm not sick anymore, which is nice. I mean, I still have the cough, so you'll have to, again, bear with me, as I, like, try to muffle it or, like, move away from the microphone. But, today is mostly your topic, so I will let you set the stage.
Setting the stage. All right. So what I wanted to talk about was PlayStation Now and how they finally set the subscription rate and have it set with it's basically like Netflix, or I guess not really GameFly. You can't.
Right. Well, it's digital.
You can't get, yeah.
It's GameFly. It's like a on
digital.
Demand.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, but I mean, it's more. It's where... yeah. It's more like Netflix in the sense that yeah, it's streaming. PlayStation Now is streaming the games to your console. Mm-hmm. You can do it on PS3 and PS4, but the subscription's only for 4, right? Or is it? Does it carry over between systems like PS4?
It carries over between, because I can jump on my Vita and play whatever I played on the PS4.
Is there a PS Now app for the Vita, or are you just doing it through Remote Play?
No, there's an app.
An app? Okay.
You can use PlayStation Now on PS3 as well.
Hmm.
So it's all set up, but yeah, it's weird how they have it set up. Like, I guess there's 106 games, I think, right now if you're doing the trial. But if you go on, like, the Vita or the inside the store, there's still 246, so there's other ones that are set for the beta period where you can still rent it from, like, I think, a few hours to 90 days.
But the rental thing will still be an option even if you don't have a PS Now subscription, as far as I know.
I'm not sure. I didn't hear about that. I thought it was just,
you either subscribe or you don't?
For a month, or yeah, pretty much.
Damn it. That's stupid. That's almost worse.
I think it might be specific games, though, you can still rent.
Oh, okay, but you don't have access to it if you don't have the subscription, which entices you to want to subscribe. Okay, now that makes sense. Because, like, Amazon Prime for the movies is like that. You can rent any movie you want in HD or non-HD, but if you have a Prime membership, you have access to all these movies for free. But some movies, same deal, you just have to pay for them.
Right,
usually newer movies, but...
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I like it, and it seems to run a bit better than it did in the beta period. Like, there's still, I counted a few hiccups here and there, but I mean, it seems to run a bit smoother than it did before.
Were you getting the hiccups wired or wireless or both?
Wired.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was far and few between, though.
Right. Was, not like, enough to break the game. I remember when I was in the beta for PS Now, and I almost was like, can you just retract my code and give it to somebody else? Because I couldn't get it to work. Because it was before I had... excuse me. It was before I had hardwired into my room for Ethernet. And I was doing everything wirelessly, and the connection to the router, like, my internet was fast enough, but my connection to my router couldn't give me a good enough connection for PS Now to work. Because I remember being so psyched, and I was like, oh, I'm going to try this out, and you know, every time you went to try a game, and maybe it still does this, it was like, you have to test your connection before the game will start.
It still does that.
Yeah, and then it was like, testing, and then it was like, your connection is not suitable for PS Now, and I was like, well, this is pointless.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for putting me in the trial and I can't do it.
But hey, at the end of the day, PS Now forced me to get a range extender and then forced me to cut a hole in an air conditioning vent and feed a damn Ethernet cable, a 200-foot Ethernet cable, through my entire house to the router downstairs.
Right.
So I guess I have that to thank PS Now for.
You have to look, yeah. So I wonder what it would be like now if you tried it with the 7-day trial, because that's what I'm still on, is the 7-day trial.
I'm sure it'll run way better. One, because I have a direct Ethernet connection to the router. So I'm sure connection-wise, I wouldn't probably experience nearly... But even when I had the range extender in, it actually wasn't even that bad. Like, I played Dead Island Riptide. I played a pretty decent amount of it. Like, and by pretty decent amount, I think maybe 2 or 3 hours, which to me is... You know, that would still be one, that's one, you know, that would be one rental fee. You know, you rent it for like 2 or 3 hours or 5 hours or whatever that increment was. You know, so I got, I don't know enough about Dead Island Riptide to know how far I was into the story, but like 3 hours is a good amount into a game.
I'd say, yeah.
You know, for character and story development to figure out kind of what the hell is going on. But there were only like a couple times, like once it disconnected me completely from the game. But I was able to reconnect into the game, and my progress had saved.
Right.
That was the only thing about the interface. The interface that was weird was, like, even though you were on a PS3, like, when you were in a game, like, your PS3 dashboard wasn't the in-game PS Now dashboard, which was kind of weird. Because, like, you had to save the game digitally through PS Now, and that was... Yeah, that was kind of weird. But I don't know. I can't get over the price. I can't get over the price of the
$19 for a month, $44. I think $44.99 for three.
For 3 months, yeah, it's like $120 so it's like, bucks a year. That's really expensive,
right?
It's like really expensive when you consider that. Well, I mean, Netflix—that's
if you continuously do it after each 3 months or whatever. But otherwise, I mean, it's just $15 per month,
right? But it's like my thing is if you, you know, if it's $15, you know, obviously that's $15 per month, whatever. To do the $45, but my thing is Netflix is $8.95, and there's far more there's far more movies on Netflix than there are games on PS Now, and also the fact that I can play movie, like I might want to watch a movie more than once, but I probably won't play one of those classic games like repetitively. You know,
right?
Like you're already playing the game for the novelty of being able to play this old game that you either don't have a PS1 or you have a PS1, but you can't get a copy of this game on eBay, or maybe it's an expensive game. Like if like you're trying to play Chrono Trigger or something, you know, it would be more expensive to buy the game than it would be to do PS Plus or buy it through the the PSN store. My problem is exactly that. For the cost of the subscription, for the one or two games I might play during a month, I'd probably be better off buying the games, like, through the PSN store. And part of it is also from the collector standpoint, where, like, I like having the retro collections. You know, I like having the physical copy. PS Now as a service doesn't appeal to me that much. Where, like, for movies, I don't mind watching movies, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother me that I don't have the DVDs, because movies don't hold, like... And maybe that's because I'm
associating. They don't hold that value.
Yeah, like maybe it's because there's a value I'm attaching to like having an NES copy of a game, because there's a dollar amount and there's a sentimental value amount. So like, you know, there's no like a copy of Die Another Day is not going to be worth more 10 years from now because I have a DVD of it. Like, So Netflix offers me instant gratification of being able to watch like a 2-hour movie or a TV show. And PS Now gives me a few hours of playing an old game a couple times a week, because I'm not going to get home and throw on, you know, Siphon Filter, whereas I might get home and throw on, you know... Like
Burn Notice.
Now I'm done with Burn Notice. But White Collar, I went on Netflix and White Collar has new episodes, so now I'm on White Collar again. And I'm finishing out all the episodes I missed. Because I used to just watch it on, like, the online shitty versions where, like, people would post. And every 5 minutes you'd get stupid ads, but...
Yep.
Because, like, Hulu didn't have it, like, for free. So, like, now I'm burning through White Collar. And, But, like, I can throw on White Collar and be listening to it and on my laptop writing a post, reading about a game, checking my email, doing work, doing a design project. Like, whereas, like, I'm not necessarily probably going to take advantage of Siphon Filter as much or whatever, you know, a classic gaming, you know, or old PS3 games that I just never got to play. Like, I'm probably not going to use PS Now that much. It's not to say that it's a bad service, but like for me, dollar for dollar, it's way too expensive for me.
Right.
Like if it was if you said it was $9.99 a month, I might be like, yeah, I might do it.
I'm sure there's enough people being like, I don't know if I want to pay that much. Right. Like probably lower it.
Time will tell. Time will tell if it really doesn't do well from their point, because it's not like we'll know dollar amounts how many people subscribe, how many people buy, yada yada yada. My thing was this: I always thought that it should have been integrated not only with the PSN store but with PS Plus, in the sense that if you have a PS Plus subscription, it should give you, you know, we already get the free game collection, which is fantastic. Right. The instant game collection.
So there's some kind of discount.
not a discount, but every month you get like one or two free rentals through PS Now.
Yeah,
that's it. If you want to rent any other games afterwards, and what that would allow you to do is give people the ability to say, you know, I really want to finish that old classic game, and I've got some time this month, and I'm not working on any other games or trying to trophy hunt or whatever. And PS, because you have to have PS Plus already for PS4, you'd be like, oh, I can just, I'll use my one free voucher every month and I'll rent that game. And so you could do it two or three times a month. And then when you're like, oh man, I really kind of want to play this game now, because once you finish that one game, if you finish it in a month, you can't rent like Siphon Filter 2 because you use your free voucher on Siphon Filter 1. And I don't really know why I keep using Siphon Filter, as a reference. I really have no idea, but it works because there's multiples of them. Like, you know, then all of a sudden you'd be like, I guess I might as well subscribe, or I might as well buy a month. So basically, like, if you had Siphon Filter during your rental period and then you finished it like in 5 days or what, you know, 10 days or whatever, and you really wanted to play the next one, you either have to get a month subscription to PS Now, or like say, fuck it, I'll go in for 3 months and buy the 3 month pack. Like, or you have to go buy the game off PS Now, like go buy Siphon Filter 2 or whatever continuous game you want to do. So in that sense, I always kind of thought that there had to be some sort of like symbiotic relationship between PS Plus, PS Now, and the PSN store. Like, I don't know why PS Now existed as a thing where you went to rent games. I don't know why it just wasn't a part of the PSN store. So when you went to go buy a game, it said, you know, buy for $59.99 or rent at, you know, $2.99 for 3 hours or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I always thought that would have made more sense, because then you could compare the costs. Whereas, like, right now, I have to go between both apps to decide if I even want to buy a rental versus just buying the game. Because, like, some of these games are $2.50, and it's like, why would I pay $2.99 to rent it for a few hours when I can just buy it outright for, like, $2.50?
Right.
So that was the thing. But, like, now you would have to go between your PS3 or most... Well, no, you'd have to go through your PS3, because the PS4 doesn't show the other games, and the Vita only shows Vita games, which is another thing that I don't understand. It's frustrating. I just want to be able to add all the games that are free for the month from my PS4 and purchase them on the PS4. And why can't I just set them to download on the PS3 anyways?
I do that app. That's one thing I like about the app, is you can set it, like, hey, download that for me.
Yeah. I haven't quite figured out that, because I don't think my phone's connected to the PS4. It's not connected to the PS3.
Well, no, you go into the store on the app and like, hey, download that on Plus, download that on Plus, download Plus. It'll say, hey, send me your PS3. Yes, download to my PS3.
Oh.
When you turn your PS3 on,
yeah,
eventually a message will pop up saying, hey, you have this download, and it'll download it for you.
It doesn't actually download it while the console is off. It just immediately will start downloading it the next time you turn it on.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. That's not bad.
Yes. I mean, that's the way I do it. I'll just sit at work and do that through the app or whatever.
Usually I just go on the website and just add all the games to the cart and purchase them, and then they're in the download list when I eventually get to it.
Right, yeah, that's another way to do it as well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, once Sony, because I know Sony was going to cut deals with some of the developers and publishers, like, hey, can we have the rights to put this list of games that you have on to PlayStation Now?
Right.
So just like Netflix is cutting deals with movie studios like
Miramax, Disney, etc.
Newer movies up, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was because that was my other thing was with PS Now was like, how volatile is the collection that they have? You know, like if they don't get enough money, if they realize that, you know, I don't know who the hell makes any of these old games, but like if for whatever reason, like Squaresoft was like, hey, we want more money for all the Final Fantasy games, you know, or Square Enix, whichever one it is. We're going to pull all our games from, you know, they're going to pull a Taylor Swift and just pull all their games from PlayStation Now because they don't think they're getting enough money given the, you know, cost. And maybe that is really what it is. Like, maybe the initial adopters of PS Now are literally just paying the licensing fees that eventually the price will go down for everyone else because of them. Right. You know, maybe it's an upfront cost thing. You know, obviously it's like I'm not the budget guy at Sony. I don't know how it works. But I have to imagine that there are some games that they won't be able to get on the system because some people just will say, we're not giving you the rights. And there will probably be games that have the ability to get on there and they won't because it's either too expensive or the rights have been pulled. You know, or like it's like a Crash Bandicoot thing where like Naughty Dog made the game, but they don't own the rights anymore.
I thought Sony bought back, but that'll be another.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I was actually having a conversation with Apollo before we started the cast, and he was talking about like we were talking about Crash Bandicoot and stuff, and like could there be a revival? And I was like, I know there was rumors that Sony bought it back, but then some people said they didn't, so I honestly don't know. It'd be cool though. It'd be really cool, but it's no different than, you know, how Josh and Esteban were talking about like Spider-Man and the Marvel universe and like how Sony Pictures owns the rights to Spider-Man, which is why he can't be in any of those movies. And it's like, why wouldn't you take the money and just let him be in an Avengers movie whatever? Yeah, right. And it's like, why wouldn't you just take the money? And it's like, maybe there's something more to it that we don't know. Or in many cases, when it comes to licensing and rights, like it gets so convoluted that they just don't want to deal with it at all. And I totally can see that part of it. Because it's like,
right, it's just way more complicated than
you know, if you give them the rights to the movie, then there also has to be merchandising rights. And then it's like when you do the merchandising rights, and then it's you got to make sure that advertising has a thing, and how much can he be in advertising? And then it's like all these other things, these other facets of what revolves around the licensing of an image or an icon or a name or an entity. It's like, I can imagine why Sony Pictures is just like, it's probably not worth it unless you know they have a comfortable number that they'd be willing to part with it for, which I imagine there has to be a number. Like they're just because there's everything is for sale. At the end of the day, everything is for sale. Like, you know, somebody said, "Hey, I'll give you $2,000 for your laptop." I'd be like, "Let me back up my files." Sold. You know.
Yeah. Right. It's $2,000 right there.
Yeah, it's like, or Sony Pictures has a plan and they just, you know, nobody knows what it is because we're not Sony Pictures. I don't know. Interesting thing though, just licensing in general. And the PS Now will indefinitely have those situations, especially when it comes to like games that the companies don't exist or like the company was bought out by another company. Like
obviously, HQ game on there.
Yeah, like because we'll like
Red Faction, I think.
Yeah, because we can segue into Zombie Studios, right? Zombie Studios. They made Blacklight, Retribution, and they also made Daylight, and they're making another game. Because the owners of Zombie Studios decided they're going to retire and shut down the studio, but a new studio in Seattle obtained all the rights. So I think BuilderBox. And is the name of the studio. And so they, one, took a bunch of the employees, which is props to them. It may or may not be founded by some of the zombie people, and so like a lot of the employees just kind of shifted to that company. But they obtained the rights to Blacklight Retribution, and they'll continue to support it. They have the rights for Daylight. Oh, Blacklight Tango Down.
Yep, that was the first one, yeah, whatever.
Whatever the new one, I think they're making another one. Unfortunately, Zombie Studios is no more, but Blacklight Retribution, the free-to-play shooter on PlayStation 4, the rights have been obtained by, I think it's BuilderBox. I could be wrong. I'll put it in the notes. they have it, and they'll continue to support it. So in that sense, don't worry about Blacklight Retribution. You know, I haven't played it in a really long time, and I mean, we always talk about going back to play it, but it's just like we end up on Destiny almost every single time, because I don't want to bother with Drive Club, because I'm just going to be annoyed when we can't fucking get the games to match or the lobbies to join.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So, all right. So that's PS Now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else we can talk about it, but
and then was it the whole mystery surrounding the airdrops, the pay to win
H1Z1 thing. That's a really big gaffe for them.
Like we're not gonna do it, and then all of a sudden these airdrops happen in streams, and they're like, oh well, you know, we're still not going to adopt the pay to play model or something. You know, we just have those in there.
Yeah, that's the thing too, right? So I didn't know this. All the people who are in this early access beta paid to be in it. I mean, obviously some people got invited. View codes or invited because whatever, you know, PR, journalism, YouTubers, whatever, people that, you know, are going to represent the game. Apparently there were people who, like a lot of the early access people, paid to be in the game early, which boggles my fucking mind, right? Who pays to get early access to a game that's free to play?
Right.
Like it would be like if you threw money at Blizzard to get Hearthstone early. And that makes, like, if anybody knew how big Hearthstone was going to be, I could believe people would be throwing tons of money at them to play the game early, right? But, like, H1Z1 is a zombie game.
It's like it's basically a DayZ clone.
It's Sony's DayZ clone, yeah. That's really all it is. They don't want to
edit it, but
yeah, I get that it had elements that were, I don't know, I guess going to revolutionize the, like, zombie franchise. But I would never pay for a game that was going to be free to play. No, like, no. I got in the early access for Secret Ponchos because I couldn't wait to play it on PS4. So I bought the Secret Ponchos early access. Plus, it helps them, especially because the game was free at PS Plus launch. And I figured if there's one way I can definitely give the guys at Switchblade money is to just buy the game early access, because I would have had to buy it anyways. I might not have bought it for the PC, but I have it now. And I also have it for the PS4. And at least this way, I contributed to them in some way. You know, it's not much. It's like $15, but it's better than nothing.
Sure, yeah.
And so I still can't believe people paid to get early access to the game. And the game is terrible. The game isn't terrible, but people couldn't get in to the servers. The servers were down. It was Drive Club all over again.
Plagued with issues. Yeah, exactly.
And then on top of that, so you paid to get early access to a game that you couldn't even get into, and then you finally get into the game, and now there's this microtransaction to buy a crate airdrop. Yep. And inside the airdrop are, like, supplies, backpack, and weapons. Guns. Mm-hmm. Good guns. Some people said they got M16s.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like, so you told everybody before the game came out that there were never going to be ways to, like, start off with guns. There were never going to be in-game, like, purchases and things, you know, just like the way DayZ is. You got to go find stuff and survive, you know, and maybe you start with, like, a hatchet or a flashlight or whatever. I think you just start with a flashlight, though. It's like, now you're telling people, hey, throw some money at us and we'll drop an air crate for you.
Right, yeah.
And I read an article on Forbes, and I'll link it in the podcast notes. Apparently, it's like $15 for, like, some of these airdrops or something, which seems really fucking steep for an in-game buy. But or maybe they were just referencing if you were to pay something like $15. But even if I paid $1, this would annoy me. So, much like in Call of Duty, the crate drops, and you can get it, but so can anybody else that's nearby.
So basically, you'll pay for it, but you can get killed, and someone else can take it.
Yep, which is complete bullshit, right? Because even if it was $1, even if it was 99 cents, so you pay $1, and you drop a crate, and then somebody kills you and takes it,
That means you're out whatever the amount is.
I'm out a dollar in this case, but it's like, okay, fine, fuck it, I'll get another one. Well, now they have all the guns and shit you just gave them to kill you and continuously get all your crates. Or to literally just stock the game and wait for, you know, obviously, if I hope that it's something where, like, it's a DayZ type where you spawn in completely random places so that, like, it's not like somebody could spawn camp where you're going to, you know, spawn in. Or the game has some way that it populate, that it knows where people are, and it always force populates you in an area that no one is, you know. But obviously, if you see like maybe it's anything like Call of Duty, where like you see the chopper flying across the map or something, like everyone's gonna go to where the crate is because they're gonna be like, oh, there's guaranteed stuff over there. So anybody nearby who might have gear is gonna try and get it before you can, and that is really, really shitty.
Yeah, it's really bothersome.
I'd be really pissed if I get pissed enough. Obviously, we were talking about it yesterday in Destiny. Like, you know, when someone stole my crate in fucking Call of Duty, I was so pissed. And it's like, that was just for getting like kills in a row. Now, I wasn't out any money, but like if I spent money,
I've heard they'll refund you now, I guess. Anyone who's been upset or angry, just email them, like, hey, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, I saw that. And that was something I think I tweeted, like, so SOE, because it's Sony Online Entertainment, right? SOE will refund people for H1Z1, but, like, they wouldn't refund people for Drive Club.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they still, as far as I know, didn't really refund anybody for Drive Club. I think in Europe they were trying to do some sort of class action lawsuit against Evolution or against Sony, so they may end up having to do refunds for those people or some sort of compensation. But yeah, it's so weird, like the role reversal that has happened with games these days. Yeah, and, like, obviously we talked about it in an earlier podcast, like delays are one thing that can be good and bad because nobody wants to wait, but it's better if the game comes out not shitty. And now you've got all these games constantly coming out with bugs. Drive Club, terrible online. You know, Unity had bugs and some weird AI things, but then they patched it, and then they made up for it way better than anybody else did with all the free stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, and now you've got H1Z1. I don't know, man.
It's just ridiculous, yeah. Would you PS4 or whatever?
Yeah. Would you get it? Like, do you think you'd get it and play it? Even though it's free, so obviously it's not going to cost you anything, but...
Yeah, right. It depends on what they do with it. If they make it an even playing field, no pay to win bullshit, whatever, you know, then yeah, maybe. Like, if I'm playing a game that's based on survival, I want to actually feel like I have to survive in this little world they built for me to run around in, you know?
I don't want to talk
to this guy and he'll get you, you know, 5 guns or whatever and some health packs or something like that and some food. No. Like, make me go look for it, you know?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Like Resident Evil. If there was like a Resident Evil online that was basically like, imagine if DayZ was just Resident Evil, you know? And like the fucking zombies didn't run like a million miles an hour. And I guess it would be more like, you know, Operation Raccoon City, but way more open world. And, like, instead of, you're not really ideally killing the other fucking people in the populated game, but, like, maybe there's, you know, and like, this is a mid-podcast game pitch idea to Capcom. So, it's Resident Evil Online, basically open world like DayZ, so there's zombies floating everywhere, but within the game world itself, there are objective missions you can go pick up, right? You can go find them and do this, and it's like, you know, break into some lab to get whatever. But it's like you need other people to help you. So then you've got to go find a person in-game, recruit them to help you, go do the objective, and then, like, you each get rewards based on doing that objective, and then, like, you go your separate ways.
Right.
But, like, in the same vein of, like, DayZ, like, you'd have to get... You know, you'd have to find health packs. There'd have to be some element of food, because if you can just aimlessly roam for hours in, like, a survival game, it would be kind of weird. So, like, there's an element of you have to be willing to trust these people, because it's like, hey, I need you to help me do this task, because I've already done all of the, you know, one player tasks in the area, and I need a second person to do this task because you can't start the mission or whatever, you know, you can't finish the task without a second person.
Like, right.
But it's got to all be within, like, the Resident Evil canon. So, like, you know, there may be areas that are infested with clickers, like, if you go near, like, the water filtration area of, like, the city that you're in or whatever. Mm-hmm. It'd be cooler if it was a city. I don't like the open, like, just worlds kind of thing.
No, yeah, it had to be set in just Raccoon City.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Raccoon City in the Arklay Mountains where the mansion was.
Yeah, like, Raccoon City Online. Do it, Capcom.
That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be fucking sweet. I would play that game. And I don't
basically,
like,
and revisit Outbreak.
Yeah, but expand. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Expand the universe so that it's what that was just the police station, wasn't it?
And, like, no, it was basically Raccoon City, but I mean, it was an actual story already,
right?
Inside the game with a specific set of characters that you get to play as around the city or whatever.
Were the characters, like, from the current games, or, like other STARS members or something like that?
I think two of them were STARS members. Like, no-name STARS members. That
right. Joe Schmo.
Pretty much, yeah. There's, like, a waitress, and, like, a security guard, and, like, a high school student or whatever that just came back to visit or something like that, yeah. So just literally just regular people besides the two cops that have no training in combat whatsoever, right. Just thrown into this survival situation. Hmm. And the kicker was they were all infected already.
Really?
Yeah. So you had to fight through the game already infected to get to the end and either die or I think you get cured at the end or something like that. I'm not sure. Obviously, I never got to play it or beat it, so...
Right. Yeah, I remember watching, like, videos of people playing it, but I never played it. I just remember that there were parts where, like, people were playing and they were zombies. And it was like, you could choose to, like, kill them or leave them be.
Right.
That was it. But yeah, like, that would, like, Capcom do it. Resident Evil Raccoon City Online.
Yeah.
And revamp it and make it awesome, because that actually now sounds, like, really cool.
You got in legit, and at some point, meet up with, like, Leon or some shit like
that's
that.
That's the thing, like, you know, eventually...
He's still a rookie cop.
Yeah. Like, because you'd have to make it worth, like, everyone's while to even want to entertain, like, a Resident Evil game that was, like, open world, you'd have to bring it back to, like, the glory days of Resident Evil, like, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, 3 Nemesis at the, like, latest in the timeline.
Right, which shit was... Well, the thing about 2 and 3, those games happened at the same time.
Same time, right. Time.
It's like, I think it was two happened and then 3 happened. Or
right. Like they're the very, very day. Close, yeah.
Yeah,
because like a day after. Who do you play as in 3?
Jill.
Yeah, right.
And you're, Jill and then a little bit of a soldier named Carlos.
Right, because you're either Leon or Claire in 2, right?
In 2, yep.
Yeah. And then you're Claire in... Are you Claire in Code Veronica?
Yep. Claire and then Chris.
Chris.
And then, like, a little bit of Steve.
Yeah, Steve with his Mac-10s.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets the golden gun, the golden Lugers later.
Yep.
Or Lugers, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they named him to just, you know, give it a copyright.
Yeah. I still need to fucking get that on Dreamcast. I'm going to find it.
Should.
It's a good game. Dreamcast. I remember I borrowed it from a friend who had it, because he had, like, I never, like, it wasn't that I wasn't, like, allowed to have those games, but, like, I couldn't generally get, like, the M-rated games, and I didn't really want to get, like, games like Resident Evil, because I knew I wasn't going to beat them. I knew I wasn't going to play them very long. So generally, I would just, like, borrow them for friends. So, like, I had a friend who had, like, he had, like, Devil May Cry, he had all the Resident Evil, so, like, I borrowed Devil May Cry from him, and that was, like, super cool to play that, like, the first one. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, he had gotten Resident Evil Code Veronica, and I was like, oh man, you gotta let me borrow it. And like, I can't remember what game, I think it might have been Code Veronica, but Code Veronica had a demo disc for Devil May Cry packaged with it.
I think so, yeah, I think on the PS2 version,
and,
I think.
Yeah, because it was PS2, and I was like, I'm like, you already have the game because I borrowed it from you, like, can I have the demo disc for Devil May Cry, even though it's only like 2 or 3 levels, like, I was like, can I just have the disc, because like, I just, like, I don't want to buy the game, but, like, that'd be... And he was like, yeah, dude, whatever, I have the game, I don't give a shit. And I was like, oh, Steve, you're the best. Thanks, yep. Steve. but then, like, yeah, he let me borrow, like, Code Veronica for, like, 2 weeks. And obviously, because, like, I don't like scary games. Like, they take me a long time to get through them. Or they take a really short amount of time, and I stop playing at the point where I'm like, this is fucking scary.
Right.
And I played pretty far into that. I played basically up until the part right where Steve turns into the fucking giant thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I thought, like, I just thought the whole concept of that particular story was pretty sweet. Like, that was, like, a really good side story.
Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah. But, so that was, yeah, so that's pretty good. It was a good one. All right, what was your other topic? I thought you had three. Or was it just the two? Was it PS Now and H1Z1, or?
I think, yeah, that was about it. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, wait, yeah, anyway, I guess I was going to go on a small tangent about the Resident Evil remaster and Dying Light.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the whatever you want to call it, master.
Yeah, Resident however Evil. Many times it's been remastered, because it originally came out, then they did the director, what was it, the original director's Resident cut. Evil, director's cut, cut, then did it then jump to GameCube? Because I know they made Resident Evil 2 for N64. Did they make the original Resident Evil for N64? I don't think so.
I know 2, yeah. 2 for sure.
2 definitely. And then, yeah, so then... Which is even kind of weird when you think about it, that Capcom made Resident Evil for the N64. What a weird thing. Because it would have been, like, at the... Like, that probably would have been the most, like, graphically... Or not necessarily graphically violent, because it's pixels, but, like, the most violent game on a like that would have existed on the Nintendo 64 at the time. Like, Conker's Bad Fur Day, yeah, it was, like, violent and grotesque in nature. Like, when you fight a fucking shit monster, but, like, it wasn't, like, violent in the sense that it was, like, zombies and fucking eating people and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, giant monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think, yeah, so I think it was. It was, like, one director's cut, then GameCube.
Yep. And then re-released on Wii. The GameCube version re-released on Wii, and then now on PS4.
Yeah, now on PS4. And it really is crazy how well the GameCube version held up. Like, I think people really, really miss, like, really have missed, like, interpretations or, I don't know, misinformation about, like, how impressive the GameCube was for its time. Because, like, the fucking GameCube version, like, there's that video that I'm definitely know we've talked about, and I may have even linked it in a prior show note, the video where it shows the difference between the two games, the GameCube and versus the PS4 one, and it's almost not that different,
it's just cleaned up a little, maybe a little,
yeah, bit, and like the lighting is a little bit better, because like they have more RAM to like play with lighting effects, but it's like really ridiculous.
Yeah,
like it's like it was. I was like, "Damn, I have to give the GameCube so much credit because it holds up really, really well compared to the PS4 version." Obviously, like 90% of the GameCube games that exist, and it's kind of how it is for most Nintendo things, anyways. Most of the games don't really take advantage of the power that either system has, like GameCube or Wii or Wii U. Like,
it's only specific devs that do that, though. Yeah. Which I don't get. Like most, I don't want to say they use excuses, but most are like, "Well, we couldn't figure it out." Like, yeah, like, take Naughty Dog, for instance. They took the PS3 and then, boom, you know, Last of Us.
Right. And that was ridiculous. I remember talking to my friend who worked on it. He works for Sony as a producer, but he worked with them on Last of Us, Naughty Dog. And he was saying, like, how much memory management went into the game. He's like, we maxed out the RAM on the PS3. He's like, and when you think about how little RAM, like, how, like, little they had to work with, he's like, it's unbelievable the amount we were able to get out of the PS3. He's like, but that type of thing happens in every kind of console generation where, like, after all these years of development on the console, you know, memory management and being able to kind of balance effects and things in a way that doesn't completely, you know, fuck the console, they were able to, after years and years of developing on the PS3, know exactly how far they could push the limits of each specific kind of aspect of the game in the engine to kind of make sure that they maximized the RAM and gave you the best experience at the same time. And they, I mean, they absolutely nailed it. Like,
oh yeah, for sure. So,
and obviously, like, putting it on PS4 was just like putting it in overdrive, which is, it's great. It's just the sad part is that I don't care to play the game again.
Play it again, yeah. Like, I was, I went somewhere earlier today, and I was like, I don't know, I might go back into The Last of Us again.
I always tell myself I want to, but it's no different than, like, I always tell myself that, like, there are tons of games I want to finish. Like, I really do want to finish Tales of Zillia, because I'm so close to the end. And I want to play Ni No Kuni, because I'm only, like, a couple hours into it. But I'm always just like, but I can just do bounties in Destiny and Destiny. And it's it's really bad, because, like, not that Destiny's a bad game and I shouldn't play it. More the fact that, like, I'm not finishing really, really amazing games that I know have great stories solely because I want to mindlessly shoot things in Destiny. Because it's because it's easy, and that is really what it is. Ni No Kuni is hard. It's going to take me time and dedication and grinding to beat that game.
Right. I love that.
You know, my problem is I would really love if Ni No Kuni came to PS3.
Or you mean, like, PS4.
Yeah, PS4, I'm sorry. Or Vita. Like, if it came to the PS4, I could play it on remote play, and if it came to the Vita, I could just play it on the Vita, cuz I would love to play I would, like, it's, I
you just sit at work on an off day and just,
well, that's the thing. Like, I'm more apt to have a better experience with a game like Ni No Kuni if I'm playing it in a more intimate setting, which the Vita gives you. Like, and obviously, like, people be like, well, what difference does it make if you play it on the PS4? If I play it on the PS4, it means I'm on the PS4. Like, part of it is the, like, the fact that I know I have to go turn on, and it's not like I rehooked my PS3 back up. It's fine. It's set up. I can grab my controller and play, and all I have to do is change the headset because I get to switch the USB. But, like, knowing that I'm playing on the old console, like, it doesn't bug me, but it's just kind of like, but I have a PS4 and an Xbox One. Like, why am I playing PS3?
Right.
And it's like, there's a part of where I don't view the PS3 as a retro console, because it really isn't, because it's just one generation behind. But at the same time, like, I don't want to play it anymore. You know, like, it's like I've kind of shelved PS3 for the time being, but at the same time, I really do want to finish Tales of Zillia, and I really do want to play Ni No Kuni.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I could remote play...
At some point, you'll have to find it.
I'll just either start streaming, like, I'll either start, like, in doing my Monday night streams, like, just playing Ni No Kuni. Because I did, for a while, stream Ni No Kuni during one of my streams. That was, like, the first time I played it. The problem is like, I really... There's something about being on the old console that, like, kind of bugs me. And in a way that I'm just like, why am I playing this? Like,
it doesn't bother me like that.
I don't know. It's like, it's not... And Destiny, it's weird too, because I really want to play Persona 4 Arena and fight in, well, I should say lose to people online, but
get that.
But I just don't want to play the old console just yet. Like, it's like The Last of Us. Maybe in a few years I'll want to go back and re-experience Joel and Ellie. But, like, for right now, I'm just like, I'll play the multiplayer. It's fine.
Right.
You know, but, like, I don't really have a desire to go back to the story. And it's for the same, and it's not obviously the same as, like, going back to your PS3, because, like, Joel and Ellie's story, like, it delivers an experience, it brings you through, and, like, it plays with your heart. And I already know what's going to happen, because the story, even though the game came out over a year ago, like, it's still fresh to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to go do it, because it won't give me the experience I got the first time I played it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I don't want to play it again. And so,
right.
At least right now, maybe in a few years, it'll have, like, kind of faded, and I'll want to go relive those moments, you know, and then I'll go, and then I'll go play it again. Then I'll go, you know, and this time I'll play it on the PS4 because it'll be the better version of it. But by then it'll probably feel like I'm playing the PS3 version because graphically, you know, I'll be on PS7 or PS9 or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I'm just like, dude, I got the PS5. What about you? I just remember that. Do you remember the commercial where the PS, like, 9 or whatever was the orb and it just, like, absorbed into his brain? And then it was like, he was the game. And I was like, shit, fuck PS3. I want the PS9. Give me that shit.
Well, I thought that was a PS2 commercial. Because I remember there was something in the
PS2. Oh, was it a PS2 commercial?
At the end, it's like, it shows, it says PS9. And, like, wait, what the fuck?
Maybe it was the PS2 then. Maybe it wasn't maybe it was pre-PS3. I just remember that controller being like, or commercial being like, oh my god, the PS2 is gonna rock. And then being like, wait, it's just a black box. The fuck is this? Like, where are the orbs that I'm supposed to snort?
Yeah.
Give me the drugs.
Those were in the game.
Yeah. That was another thing that was always weird, like, looking back. Why did the fucking PS2 have that, mini FireWire port?
I don't know.
Like, it had the two USBs, which even now still kind of, I never understood, because it wasn't like you used them for thumb drives. And, if you used a multi-tap, which is the coolest, like, I think the multi-tap in general of, like, in, like, I don't know, I don't remember what it was called on the NES, but, like, those types of, like, controller expander things, I always thought were the coolest. But then, right. Like, you know, you had Dreamcast and N64, which just gave you four controllers, which was the best, because you're just like, yeah, it's not like Super Nintendo where we have to only do two-player games. Yeah. But, like, NES had four-player games, like, more than one. Right. But, like, Super Nintendo never had that. Six. Super Nintendo never had a fucking, like, controller expander. It was just like, no, two people. I
thought they did.
Did they?
Could have sworn they did. It was like...
I don't remember. Because I know Mario Kart was something only similar to
PlayStation 1. Like,
well, because PS1 had the multi... Had that? Yeah, it was the angled thing, right? Oh, wait, let's... Yeah. Okay, SNES... I apologize for the controller, like, for the keyboard. Controller expander. I see controller length expanders, and I see somebody made a Raspberry Pi wireless controller thing for Super Nintendo, which is pretty sweet. I don't see...
I just sworn there was one. Maybe I am wrong.
Four controllers. SNES multi-tap. It was Hudson Soft Super Multi-Tap, which was released in 1993. I'm on Wikipedia. One of these plugged into the Super Nintendo's controller port 2. Super Multi-Tap added multiplayer support for up to 5 players. Came with the bundled game Super Bomberman.
I knew it. So you could play Super Bomberman with your friends.
Another version was the Naki Tribal Tap, featured 5 controller ports. However, it has been shown that the 5th port on these units is not actually functional. If 2 multi-taps were used simultaneously, Super Nintendo up to 8 controllers could theoretically be used, but no commercially released games even offered multiplayer compatibility beyond 5 players. One homebrew. Okay, so yeah, okay, there were SNES multi-taps, so I learned something new today.
I told you.
Okay, here's the here we go. Here's the compatible game list. Filter this by... I gotta filter them by English games so that I can figure this out. Okay. Pretty much entirely sports games. Madden 95, 96, 97, 98. Micro Machines. NBA Hang Time. NBA Live. NCAA Football. Looney Tunes Basketball. Weird.
Oh, shit.
Dragon the Bruce Lee Story.
Story.
College Slam. Probably a basketball game. NHL, Olympic Summer Games, Sterling Sharp, End to End, no idea, Street Hockey 95, WWF Raw, and Dino Dini's Soccer, and then, yeah, FIFA. Oh, hey, FIFA. Secret of Mana, apparently you could do 3 players.
That was co-op, yeah.
Rap Jam, Volume 1. Barkley, Shut Up, and Jam. That's like the only game besides Secret of Mana that I actually knew was a real game.
Besides
Sports, J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, Volume 1, Fire Striker, Hungry Dinosaurs, NBA Jam, NBA Tournament Edition. If you're playing NBA Jam on a retro console, the only version you play is the Tournament Edition. And the only system you play it on is Sega fucking Genesis.
Sega Genesis.
Don't you bring that Super Nintendo shit in here.
Nope. Genesis, son.
Peacekeeper, Smash Tennis, Super Bomb. Oh, there's your Super Bombermans.
Bomberman.
Yeah.
Yep. Really? No Mega Man Soccer?
Top Gear 3000.
I guess that was just 1-2, so never mind.
Yeah, and then the rest of these are all Japanese games, so I don't think there's anything. Yeah, wow, I didn't know. I honestly did not know that. And my guess is it probably didn't appeal, like, we wouldn't have ever looked into it, because none of these games I have. I don't have any of these. Like, I wasn't really a sports, and we weren't really sports. Like, we had NBA Jam, Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I played the NBA Jam something.
And I had, I still have all of it, but, you know, like, we had hockey on Super Sega Genesis. We had NHL 94.
I think I played that one of the NHLs.
And I have NHL 94 and NHL 95. NHL 94 I actually bought at, like, years and years later. But we had NHL that ended up being NHL 95, but they're basically, like, the same game. NHL 94, obviously.
Updated roster.
Well, it just had the. It was a more slightly. It was the. It's the more noteworthy of the NHL Sega Genesis games, and it had the Bruins goalie, whose name I cannot remember, on the cover. It's gonna drive me nuts. I'm gonna remember it after we do the podcast, so it doesn't matter. But I wasn't never really into sports, and neither were like my brothers and stuff. Like, we, like, on NES, we had, like, ice hockey, you know, like the Nintendo branded ice hockey game, but we never, like, and my brother ended up, when a friend of his, like, was in college or whatever, he, like, had a bunch of games, and he, like, my brother was like, well, you know, Andrew really likes retro games, like, he's not gonna sell them if that's what you're thinking, that I'm gonna take them and just sell them. He's like, no, he keeps them. And so I guess his friend was just like, gonna take them, and he gave me like 10 NES games. One of which was 10-Yard Fight, which is the football game. But I never, I played it a couple times just to play it. But yeah, like ice hockey would have been like the only sports game I think we ever really played on NES. And then like Super Nintendo would have been like Super Mario Kart. And then it was like N64, you know, Wave Race. Even though it's sports because it's wave racing, jet skis. But I'm trying to think, like, was there any other sports games that we had? We had like Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, Ken Griffey Jr.'s Home Run Derby or whatever it was. I don't remember when we bought this game, but we had NHL Breakaway 98. Solid hockey game. It's like you're in the real stadiums. There's like semi-animated crowds. And like if you pause the game and like wait a few minutes, like the announcer would be like, boom, with the parents of Sally Field. Please go to the Lost and Found, located on the, you know, Loge Level 2. And, like, there'd be, like, announcements like that in the middle of the game. There'd be, like, a stoppage of play, and, like, they'd, like, call, like, a person's name, like, you know, so-and-so's child has been found, you know? And my guess is they're all names of, like, the developers if you, like, read the credits or something. But it's just kind of funny that, like, even in the N64 days, like, you were starting to get that kind of unnecessary extra stuff being thrown into the game.
Right.
So that was really cool. I was a big fan of that. And the game itself played really well, too, for, like, a hockey game with, like, a lot of kind of stuff going on.
Not bad.
Like, GameCube, same deal. It was more hockey than anything because we had, like, NHL Blitz or NHL... Was it NHL Blitz. Hits. NHL Hits.
Or Hits,
it was, yeah. NFL Blitz was the football one.
Football,
Yeah, it played Hits. And then, you know, then at that point, that was like, we had the N64, and then we went to GameCube, and then I had the, we were on GameCube for a long time, and like, I think we have a couple more sports games on the GameCube, but it's kind of weird, like, 64 to GameCube, and then like, the time between like GameCube and like when I got a PS2, was like such a blur to me. Like, I honestly really don't remember spending a whole hell of a lot of time playing the GameCube. Like, I know I must have, but like...
So you still... Oh, yeah, obviously, since you don't sell anything, you still have the GameCube?
Oh, of course. Or... Yeah. It's at work. It's at work in storage. And yeah, it's at work in storage, and my Wii is downstairs, so I could just grab that, and then that plays GameCube games. But I honestly really can't remember a whole lot about the GameCube. Like, I remember playing it, and I remember like certain games being really fun, but like, and I had my own little memory card, and I, you know, the stickers from Nintendo Power that were like sent to you with your issue for the GameCube labels, you know, those were like super, super cool. I have a Pokemon one on mine, or like a Pokemon and a Super Smash Brothers one, you know, it's like Andrew written in my fucking chicken scratch, but, yeah, like, and we have a little, you know, I have a little zip case with all my GameCube games. Actually, it might be, I might actually still have that here in like my little shelf that has all my the games and like movies that I kept that I didn't put in storage for the time being. So I remember we had like a decent amount of games. Like, we probably had like 20 games for the GameCube, but like I remember the N64 being such a bigger experience than like the GameCube. It's kind of weird. And I don't know if maybe it was because of like our age and we were like, you know, in, I assume you had to be like middle school or like middle school going into high school or something. But I just really don't remember the GameCube that much. Like, I know I played it because we have it, but like, I just don't remember being that attached to it.
I just remember playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes.
Twin Snakes.
Mm. I remember I bought that for like $20 new at Toys R Us.
Yeah. I don't have Twin Snakes, but I remember renting it a couple times. And just being basically, like, this game Metal Gear is fucking Solid, awesome. With,
Metal Gear Solid 1, but made to look like Metal Gear Solid 2, and it's runs on that engine and has that mechanics and all that. Has that mechanics on it.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember when I got, like, we never had PlayStation, so I never had a PS1. And I remember, like,
still have mine. I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. I remember when my friend, who lived down the street, and we were like best friends through grade school, growing up, whatever, until he moved. And I remember, like, he got up, like, it was his birthday, and like, he was an only child, so like, obviously his parents went all out when he had his birthday. So
got everything.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, his birthday, and it was like, you know, oh, what do you want for your birthday? And he was like, oh, well, you know, I want a PS2. And she's like, all right, let's go. And so, like, you know, it was me and like 10 of our friends, you know, because back then when you were a kid, like, you had a birthday party and it was like a sleepover and there was like 10 people.
Right.
And so we were like, dude, that's so awesome. Your mom's getting you a PS2. And like, we all pile in the car, you know, and of course, like, it's back in the day when, like, you know, not necessarily everybody had a minivan or like a car that seated like 10 kids. So like, we're all just like sitting in everybody's lap. Fucking, like, driving to the mall, and I'll never forget it. Like, I remember that vividly. Like, we go to the mall, and, like, I don't remember anything about, like, who was there or the trip, and I remember going into, like, the fucking GameStop in the mall, and, like, I don't even think it's there. It's not there anymore. And
right. I guess back then it would be EB Games, depending how...
No, it was a GameStop.
Oh, really?
It was a GameStop. Or was it a Funko Land? It wasn't Funko Land. It was definitely not Funko Land. It was GameStop. And, well, I don't, you know what, now I don't know. Maybe it was Funko Land. Either way, it's a game, it became a GameStop, so maybe it was just an EB Games. And, I remember, like, going in and like, his mom being like, I need a PS2, and I need, and she's like, how many controllers do you want? It was just like, well, how many does it have? And it was like, two. And she's like, two controllers, so one additional. And she's like, and what game? She's like, go pick out, like, two games. And so, of course, like, he goes and picks, like, four games. And she's like, okay, whatever, you know?
Oh, jeez.
And so, and I'll never forget Dynasty Warriors 2. And that was what sparked my love for Dynasty Warriors. Dynasty Warriors 2. That was the first PlayStation 2 game I ever played was Dynasty Warriors 2. I don't even remember what the other games he got were. I'm sure, like, if I went and looked at the list of games that came out when, like, the PS2 first launched, I'm sure I'd be like, oh, okay, those names are ringing bells. But I remember...
That's the one that hits you the most.
Yeah, like, I remember he had a PlayStation 1, and I remember we played, like, you know, we played Resident Evil 2, and that was fucking... I'll never forget the, like, same thing, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget the first time, like, I was playing the game, and it was right when you start at the crash, and the car is on, you know, the gas truck's on fire, and, like, the first few zombies are coming at you, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, because, like, I wasn't familiar with the controller, and, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how to shoot, and, of course, you can't move and shoot, so that, like, tank controls were foreign to me. And I'm like trying to shoot at the zombies, and then I'm like stopping and I'm backing up, and I backed into the fire, shooting at them, and died. And so the you are dead scene was the zombies all grabbing me and basically dragging me into the fire and then eating me while it was on, because, you know, the game wouldn't, the game's just showing like you burning to death while being eaten by zombies. And I was just like, I don't want to play this game anymore. And it was like, I mean, it was broad daylight. Like, it was like probably like 2 p.m. Like, we'd just gotten off the bus from school. And I won't forget like that experience with Resident Evil 2. And that was, you know, I mean, I never liked scary things ever. So it's not like that experience traumatized me. I just never liked scary games. I don't like jump scares. It's like, I don't want to fucking have my heart rate shoot up. Because,
like, when I was younger, it was different. Because I remember playing Resident Evil 2 with a buddy of mine, and then I had to go home, and it was night, so I was walking, and I was like looking behind my back, making sure there were no zombies. Because the part we stopped at was when you go into this little small sewer area, and there's that giant-ass alligator that pops out
and
bites you. So I was like, oh shit, it's going to be a giant alligator that's going to bite me. So yeah, I just ran the west way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck this. And like the next day, my dad's like, oh, you want to rent the game? Yeah, and I rented Resident Evil 2. So,
and that was, I was like, I got to keep playing. I got to keep playing. Sight. That was it, yeah. Yep. I have to kill that alligator, man, or it's coming for me. Oh, man. Well, that was good. I liked that. That was good stuff. Went on a little trip down memory lane.
Yep.
Do you have any shout-outs?
Oh, man.
No.
I was going to shout out... Who haven't we shouted out yet?
Well, I'll do my shout-out first only because I know it and it's ready. I'm going to shout out Mystic Apollo. Because he's a cool dude. He live streams just like Mike and I do. He live streams. I refer to him as an Ubisoft fanboy, but really he's just an Ubisoft enthusiast. Like, it's not like he defends the games that are bad. He just really likes the games that Ubisoft produce. He also likes tons of other games, and he's a trophy. I would call him a trophy completionist because he's not a. He's not like hunting for trophies. Like, he sets out to.
He just likes to complete.
He likes to complete the games. Like, right now, he's working on. I mean, at the time of this, he's working on Far Cry 4, and he'll be streaming probably later tonight. His it's twitch.tv/mystic_Apollo, and he's already at like 80% Far Cry 4. He said he only has like a few more like outposts to do before he 100%s the game. So by the time you're listening to this, my guess is he's already beat it.
Yeah.
So Mystic Apollo, I'll put his Twitter in. He's not a huge Twitter user, but like, you'll, if you follow him, you'll get the tweets when he goes live on Twitch, or you can follow him on Twitch. Either way, super cool dude. He also does live cast with a group called CCL, which is Community Casters Live. And I honestly don't know what the Twitch is or if they have a Twitter dedicated to that. But he does like a pod, it's like a live show kind of thing, and there's like a group of them, and they pick a topic, play games together, have guests. It's kind of like a little, it's like a live show, basically, is what it is, really what it is. But it's, you know, they're all, it's a community of these same like four or five people, and then sometimes they switch it out. But so he does that, so I'll put that in the links too, and then that'll be a shout out for that. So
then I figured out my shout out.
Do it.
Shout out is to Capcom.
Nice. Classic. Because we need them to make Resident Evil Online. Evil Raccoon City Online.
Make that game.
We've already given you all the tools you need. There is no story. I've just given you everything you need. So all you need to do is just code it.
Just make it, yep.
I'll even voice act. I'll just be like, ah! Guy number two. Dead guy number two. Zombie. Zombie number three. Bam. Money. Not even want money. I'll do it for free. Right. There you go. There's the audio file.
Boom.
Just copy it right off iTunes. Download it from the dgcast.com. It's probably at Capcom.
At Capcom, I think, yeah.
Did you know that it stood for Capsule Computers?
Really?
That's what Capcom was. That's what it's short for. Capsule Computers. Did not know that. I remember reading it as one of those like video game tweets that's like video game facts of the day. Capsule computers. I gotta Google it really
quick. New fact of the day, or another new fact.
Because I want to make sure that I'm not wrong, but I believe it was capsule computers.
I think you're right, because I thought they did. They said they did. They made computer stuff before they got into games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Nintendo used to make toys and stuff like that before they made video games.
Yeah. Yep. Capsule computer.
Sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Besides the Resident Evil Online game, Capcom needs to remaster just a collection of 0, 1, 2, and 3 remasters. Take
your pick. Yeah, any
3-4 did. 3-4-3 did with Halo, but don't. Since
the there's Resident no online. The Resident me, Evil collection.
Fucked up. Yeah, the Resident Evil collection.
But would you want. I would want Code Veronica. Or would you just want, like, 0, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4?
I just want 0, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, you don't even want 4?
I don't even want 4. Just 0, 1, 2, 3. I'm as much as great as 4 was. Do you want I just one want director's 0, cut? 1, no, just literally just throw just in one. the HD remaster from that, ready? Or just make 0, 2, 3, and then, like, Code Veronica or 4. Or Code Veronica is, like, a little extra.
Right. It's like a bonus.
Yeah. So just 0, 2, 3, and then Code Veronica HD remasters.
I can get behind that. I wouldn't play them, but I can get behind it.
I would buy the shit out of that.
A ton of people probably would. I can't imagine. I just, you know, obviously every game company does whatever they do or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that would be that'd be pretty hype. So that's the shout outs for this episode 9. You've got Mystic Apollo, CCL Community Casters Live, and then Capcom. Hopefully they make heed of our advice and start remastering Resident Evil. I believe, as always, that has done it for this episode.
That is
we will catch you
on the flip.